So let's take our Bibles. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, looking at verse 5 through 7. Of course, just going to read this over again in dealing with what we're looking at here, adding to our faith. And in adding to faith, the Bible tells us just again in 2 Peter, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, here's where we are tonight, to virtue, knowledge. So we're adding virtue, and then we're adding on top of virtue, knowledge. Now, every single one of these, I understand, you look at it, it says, well, adding to virtue, knowledge, and then to knowledge, temperance. Yeah, but they're all building on the same foundation, that's faith. And so adding to faith, virtue, and then you could even say adding to faith, knowledge, adding to faith, temperance, and then going on, verse number 6 says, and into temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. We said to begin with that the goal is to reach the heart of God, the way God sees people, the heart of charity, a heart of love and compassion as the Father would love. The Bible talks about, and we mentioned it, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That love of the Father is a love for the Father, okay? My love of the Father is not what it should be. And then, if I love the world, not only will I not love the Father the way I should love Him, but the love of the Father, His love, that should be able to work through me, where I can love like Him, that won't be possible either. And so if I love the world, I'm going to miss out on loving Him the way I should love Him, and I'm going to miss out on Him helping me love others the way the way He loves others. And so... we got to be careful with that, and that's why with our faith, we're adding to faith each one of these different things. Now, we already talked about adding to faith virtue and just doing what's right, just having a testimony of right living, holy living before the Father, but also before the world and the brethren. And that virtue, you can go to even Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman. There's a list of things that she was known for. She had a testimony. Every single one of them was a reflection of the kind of life that a child of God should live. And we look at these things. We need to add that virtue to our faith. It's our walk. It's our work. But then we now are looking at adding to that virtue. Once you have virtue and you've been working on that and you've established some Christian virtue, some Christian work ethic and obedience, just simply following God's command, then adding to that, building on both the foundation of faith and the virtue that has been established, now we need to add some knowledge. And now I will lay this out, and then we'll pray, and we'll go to, in a minute, we're going to go to Colossians chapter 1. But when you're looking at this and understand, there's a reason why the order is in the order it's in. If you go straight to knowledge without having virtue, you're oftentimes going to go to the wrong kind of knowledge. But when a child of God has added to their faith and their walk with God, they've added the virtue that a child of God should have, the cleanness, the ability to have some purity about us in our living, then when you get to the point of seeking knowledge as we're instructed to seek, we're not going to seek the knowledge of the world and not going to seek the knowledge that man normally would say is important. But because of that purity that has been, we have learned, that purity we have been trying to instill, that virtue as a child of God, it's going to draw in us a desire for knowledge, not according to the world's standard, but according to God's standard. We need to be knowledgeable. I have a whole message, and I won't preach it now, but I have a whole message on, is ignorance really bliss? You've heard the saying, right? Ignorance is bliss. No, not really. All right? I understand, you know, there are times where playing stupid can really pay off, because you don't get asked to do things if you play stupid. But we had one of my good friends, Brother Mike MacArthur, if he ever watches this, I just spoke about you. Brother Mike, he was the youth pastor at Fundamental for many years, and we got really close, had known each other for years, but actually got to spend some time with each other, especially there at Fundamental, and he used to joke about the fact that I don't know anything. I know nothing. Even if he knew how to do something, he didn't know how to do anything. And he said, I've learned that's the easiest way not to get asked to do everything. And and so you had that mentality. Yeah, ignorance is bliss. As long as I don't know anything, I can't be asked to get involved that much. But ignorance is not really bliss, because God instructs us to have knowledge. He instructs us to be knowledgeable in the things that we need. Listen, we're to be knowledgeable of Satan's devices. We're to have knowledge of what the world can be used to grab our attention, how Satan can use the world, those things that can be pitfalls to us. We're to be knowledgeable concerning a lot of other things. We're going to look at some of them tonight concerning the Lord himself and the things that would encourage us, the things that would challenge us. But we as God's people are not to be ignorant. Many times the writers of the New Testament would mention, especially in Corinthians and so on, it would be mentioned, whether it's Paul or Peter or others, saying, I'd not have you to be ignorant, brethren. The desire was that they not be ignorant, which means they had to have knowledge about something. They had to have some understanding that came from knowledge. So we are to add, and here's a command, we are to add knowledge on top of the virtue. Once we have a life and a heart and a mindset that is pure, that is virtuous, that is on the right track with God, we have our walk of faith, we're adding virtue and making sure that our life is in obedience and in accordance to God's will, and that virtue in us now leads us to a desire for scriptural knowledge, biblical knowledge. And we're going to look at the knowledge that the Lord desires for us here this evening. Let's pray, and then we'll move over to Colossians 1 and continue tonight. Heavenly Father, again, thank you so much for your house. Thank you for the special from the choir, and even especially the special we just heard in the song. Your way is perfect, that you are a God that we've talked about many a times. It's not taken by surprise, that you're never out of control. You never lost control. But you always have a plan, and you always are in control with everything that's done. Everything is orchestrated by your permission. And we thank you that we can trust in a Heavenly Father that loves us enough to do what's best for us at every turn. Even sometimes we don't understand how it's best, you still have a way that it's going to work out for our good. And I pray that you would please help us tonight as we look at this instruction we're given, this command to add knowledge to our virtue as we build upon the faith that we have in you. I pray that you give us, Lord, the understanding of this need for knowledge tonight as we look at this. In Christ's name, we ask all these things. Amen. Over in Colossians chapter 1, if you want to turn there, just read three verses here. Colossians 1, dealing with knowledge. And look what we have here in God's Word. And starting in verse number 9 of Colossians 1. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." Now watch. "To desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will," the Lord's will, "in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Now, in order to have wisdom, you've got to have something to work with. In order to get understanding, you've got to have something to work with. What's the beginning point of it all? Knowledge. If you have knowledge, then you can take knowledge and apply wisdom and make a wise decision. If you have knowledge, you can take knowledge and seek the Lord's instructions with it, and He can give understanding concerning the knowledge that we have. And so, knowledge is the basis of being able to work in wisdom and to receive understanding. So, the apostle here is laying out and saying that, hey, it's our desire that you might be filled with knowledge, with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And in verse number 10, that ye might walk. Now watch, here's the whole culmination of the reason for knowledge that brings about a great wisdom and a true spiritual understanding. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the, there it is again, knowledge of God. So he lays out here that you're to have a base knowledge, that through that God can help apply wisdom And in it all, you can gain some spiritual understanding so that we can walk worthy and be fruitful. But then he says, as we walk worthy and we are fruitful for the cause of Christ, because of the base knowledge that we have, the basics of understanding in God's word. And listen, you've got to start somewhere. And so you may not know everything, but you need to start learning something concerning the truths in God's word. And so you start off with the basics, and you start gaining some knowledge, and God gives you some wisdom and how to apply that knowledge. And through the application of wisdom with knowledge, we do what God, through His will, gives instruction for. And as we follow His will, He then gives some spiritual understanding as to why He had us do these things, or go these places, or say what He had us to say. And so base knowledge, added to it the wisdom of God, and then through it the understanding of the situation in spiritual things. But once you're there, it says that we're to basically grow, be fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge. Just having base knowledge of God's word does not cut it. God does not want us just to know the basic stories that every single person that goes to Sunday school understands. Oh, yeah, I know that story. Oh, that's my favorite. Oh, yeah, David and Goliath. Oh, Jonah and the whale. Oh, this and all. That's wonderful. Great that we know some of those stories. What about some of the deeper truths? What about getting beyond the shallow waters of God's word and actually, that song says, step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper? It's really nice wading in the kiddie pool. But the older you get, you should be able to start walking a little to the deep end. The kiddie pool works for a while, but once it, listen, you go to anywhere that whether it might have a pool, and you see a huge grown adult, grown man playing in the kiddie pool, splashing around. Oh, this is so much fun! You start wondering what's wrong with that person. They're tall enough they could walk halfway out to the deep end and never even go under. Why are they staying in the kiddie pool? That's the kind of... No, you don't think anything about it when you have a toddler out there or you have a little one out there and you don't want them in the deep end yet because they're not ready for that. They can't handle that. But a grown adult ought to get out a little bit deeper. And that's the same thing is true when it comes to God's word. You start off with some basic knowledge. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we are faithful to church and we get in. But then beyond just hearing preaching and beyond just coming to Sunday school, and those things are needed, I greatly believe that. And we need to be faithful to those things because that is going to help keep solidified in our life the truths of God's word. And when we might even doubt or question, the Lord can through Sunday school or through the preaching just reaffirm what we believe through the basics of teaching and the basics of knowledge. But there comes a point where we got to dig in for ourselves a little bit deeper. We got to get in God's word on a faithful basis on a personal level. And then beyond that, where the Lord gives opportunity to go deeper and learn more and take God's word and apply it in greater ways, we ought to be hungry for growing in knowledge. Increasing, as the Bible says, in the knowledge of God. Where do you get that? Right here. Say, I have a hard time understanding it all. Then get somewhere with underneath somebody who the Lord has given a little bit of understanding, a little bit of wisdom of how to teach it, and get underneath it and just glean and glean and glean and just take every bit that you can and grow in the knowledge of God. Verse number 11 says, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now think about that. When you grow in the knowledge of God, the direct results, and this is not even my notes, this is a whole different thing, all right? The direct results is strengthened with all might. You want to be a strong Christian, you want to be able to stand when everything against you is beating you down, you better get in the knowledge of God. Goes on to according to His glorious power. You want to get to a point where you can see God work in a powerful way. You got to get in the knowledge of God. goes on to say, unto all patience and long suffering. You want to be able to handle things patiently? Want to be able to deal with people with long suffering and have the right mind of God when dealing with tough situations? You want to be able to be that person that can hold in what doesn't need to be said and only speak what God would have spoken instead of always? And listen, we're all in this boat. Sometimes we get done saying what we wanted to say, and afterwards we just want to slap ourselves and say, that was really stupid. That was dumb. That didn't glorify anybody, especially not God. Now, we don't want to say that to anybody else because we don't want to admit that we know we goofed. But you ever had those times where you just wanted to hang your head afterwards and realize, and I messed up? I should have kept my mouth shut. Want to have the ability to show patience and long-suffering. Now, watch this. With joyfulness. Want to have the ability to be joyful no matter what life throws at you. Yeah, it doesn't mean you're laughing and happy all the time. You have to be a little off your rocker to have that. You know, everything's blowing up. Ah, it's so fun. Okay, no. But there's times of tears. There's times of heartache. But you want to have the ability to rebound with joyfulness in the midst of sorrow. You want to be able to have the rebound of saying, you know, boy, God is still good, and mean it and not just be saying words that Christians say. You want to have that ability to survive those time frames as God would have us to do in the face, the all-looking eyes of those who are watching. We better get into the knowledge and increase in the knowledge of God. I'm going to stop right there at verse number 11. It goes on, talking about giving thanks unto the Father and many other different things. But if we're ever going to grow, or could I say it this way, if we as God's people are ever going to grow up the way He'd have us to grow up, we better get serious about this thing of learning, gaining the knowledge from God's Word. Let me go ahead and get to my notes, okay? I just preached a whole nother message. Knowledge, by definition, is a clear and certain perception of that which exists, or of truth and fact, the perception of the connection and agreement or disagreement and repugnancy of our ideas. You say, that's a lot of definition. Yeah, basically it's just understanding what exists and what's true and what's real. Being able to decipher and discern between fact and fiction, between what the Lord is saying and what the world is saying, what Satan is trying to tempt us with and what God is trying to warn us from. We have to be very, very, very careful. And the only way we're going to have that ability is to grow in knowledge. In Scripture, we find there are two different types of knowledge. I'll go through some of this quickly. You may not have time to turn to these passages, but I am going to read them. As a matter of fact, real quick, you can turn to one more, 2 Timothy. It's right there near us, 2 Timothy chapter 3, once again. Matter of fact, that's where we were already. So that's Peter. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. Mixing notes up here a little bit. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to go to verse number 1. But there is the first knowledge. There's two different types of knowledge, okay? There is saving knowledge. And again, I'll go quickly through this, but this is the knowledge that each individual must come to first. The saving knowledge. There are always those who fight against the knowledge of God that cries out for a response of faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 7, is where we see the description of what we are facing even today. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Again, we could spend a lot of time right there. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust, ever learning, and now watch, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is where we are today. We are so wrapped up in knowledge, in how vast an understanding we have of the universe and the this and the that and the inventions and how witty man is and how smart man is. And we've now figured it out that there is no God. We don't need God because everything just poof, it just happened. And we can completely wipe away because now man can come up with his own explanation for every little detail, which, of course, in the end, they really don't. They come up with excuses that don't hold up when you really put it up against the test of time and the test of all the things they say. You got it. These things have to measure up to these tests. Well, if you really look at their tests they run, they don't measure up, but they fudge a little here and there to make it work. Many of the things that they have found, and yes, dealing with creation even, many of the things that they have found to try to prove evolution, when they go back to it, now you don't hear much about it after the fact, but they make a big stink out of finding missing links and this and that and everything else, talking about evolution and how we evolved and came from monkeys. All these different things, they say, oh, we found it, big articles all over the place. Then later on it comes to find out that somebody tampered with it all and created their own skull, and they created this, they actually pulled apart from over here and pulled apart from over there and pulled apart from over there, and they said they found it all at the same place. They didn't find it the same place. They put it all together to make it work. And then when it all comes out, do you see that in the papers? No. Do you see that in the magazines? No. Sweep that under the rug. Why? Because we've got to find some way to prove man is smarter than what this Bible says we are. We're always learning, always growing, always coming up with greater and fancier things. Look at the technology we've got today. Man, aren't we brilliant? All the technology, and we can't get past the moon. And God said, let there be light. God flung the stars from his fingertips. You have to believe that this book is truth to accept any part of it. The reason most people won't accept it, they won't believe that what's in here is accurate, that it was six literal days. The reason they won't believe those things is because you get right down to it, they don't believe this book is God's word, because you get right down below that and you understand the basis is they don't believe in God, period. Well, if you don't believe in God, you don't believe in his word, you can pretty much take into account that anything you say out of God's word is thrown to the side without even considering it. That's the knowledge of man. That's the wisdom of man. We have to come up with a solution ourselves. We have to come up with a reason ourselves. And it said, it shows it right here. Again, having a form of godliness. We're real spiritual. We're a very spiritual society, but a godless society. Spiritism within ourselves, God exited from the entire scenario. But then, as we said here, ever learning. Get your education. Get your education. Okay, don't go messing that up. All right, you need all you can get. You might be able to cram all 3 years into five. I don't know, but we'll see. Okay, but I love picking on Caleb. He can take it so well. But if all we're doing is ever learning, but denying the God of all knowledge, we're in trouble. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is man's way. There are those who will always reject truth. That saving knowledge is what man has to come to first. And then we just get this last thing underneath that. Although not everyone will yield to the knowledge of the knowledge of truth, saving knowledge, God does desire, we said many times, that everyone would accept and respond to that truth. He gave us truth. Why? Because he wanted us to know it. He didn't want to keep it from us. He wanted us to understand it. 1 Timothy 2:4, exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all. Oh, hey, there, there's one right there. God never commanded me to pray for somebody I don't want in the presidency. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Yeah, that pretty much just burst that bubble. I'll be honest with you, I wasn't a fan of President Obama. Did that give me the right to refuse praying for him? Not according to this scripture. I should still pray, intercede. Here's one that hurts. Give thanks. That's a tough one. I couldn't find a lot of reasons to give thanks. But the Bible still says, give thanks, okay, for all men. Now, for kings and for all those, all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That's another big word that God's people need to get a hold of. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men, now watch, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Lord is desirous that all men be saved and that all would come to the knowledge of truth. Some are going to reject, but God desires that all come to that knowledge. He gives the opportunity. But not only is there saving knowledge, which is the starting point for every man, every woman, every boy and girl. Until that takes place, other growth in knowledge cannot take place. The Heavenly Father can only help His children when it comes to additional knowledge. Once saving knowledge is understood and received, then the next thing is growing knowledge. 2 Peter 3:17 through 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the, there's that word again, knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. The Lord desires that we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter 1:5, which is the basis of what we're talking about here, Peter is writing to those who have already responded to that the faith to the saving knowledge, and now he's encouraging them, now that you know the knowledge of truth to the saving of your soul, now it's time to go beyond and add to that faith and build on it the virtue we talked about, and then now knowledge. It's time to grow up in the Lord. It's time to get beyond babes in Christ and do more for the cause of Christ by the knowledge that God gives. We have basically three things here. That what knowledge is needed to be added to our faith? What knowledge do we need to add? Well, first off, there's the knowledge of His grace. Now, I understand there's a lot of preachers that preach grace, 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 grace. And I'm all for it. Listen, we need to understand the grace of God. Because the grace of God and the mercy of God are two powerful things. And if you underestimate the grace of God, you're doing yourself a disjustice. But at the same time, if we overestimate and we make it all of grace, which basically excuses sin, it's under grace, it's under grace, it's under grace. We live in the age of grace. We don't live in the age of the law. So in other words, I can live how I want and God's grace will forgive me. So many people want to just preach grace and grace and grace and grace. Yeah, but the God of grace is also the God of judgment. And He will bring, we've talked about that many times, so I'm not going to go all through that. But He will be the righteous judge. He does show grace. He does show mercy. And we need to understand that knowledge of His grace. It's a beautiful thing when a child of God is in need of grace. When the child of God is struggling and needs the peace. You understand that the peace that passes all understanding is merely an exercise of God's grace on the life of a human being. On the life of a sin-cursed individual. Yes, I might be forgiven of that sin for all eternity. I have, you might say, my ticket to eternal life with the Lord because of the salvation that He has offered through the blood of Jesus Christ. But at the same time, There are times where sin still oppresses this body. Sin still oppresses the life that I live. Sin still is ever present. Those things that I would do, as Paul said, the things that I would do, I don't do. The things that I would not do, those things, that's what I do. What I would do, I do not. What I would not do, what I would prefer not to do, those are the things I find myself constantly beat myself up over because I fell for it again. We are constantly battling the flesh, the sin nature. I am forgiven. There's a song. I don't know if any of y'all ever heard it. It's one I just heard recently. Man, is it an awesome song. I heard it sung at one of the churches. I can't remember where it was. It was a quartet, men's quartet singing it. And basically talking about what a day that's going to be when I can't remember everything He forgot. Oh, what a day that's going to be where all the sins He forgot that right now I can't forget what a day it'll be when I can't remember everything he forgot. That's going to be a wonderful day, but it ain't right now. Right now, I battle the flesh. Right now, I battle sin. Right now, I even battle the things from the past that constantly eat at me, that Satan loved to throw back in my face. It is forgiven by the blood of Christ, but it's still a battle in this flesh. And so we need to understand the grace of God. But don't get too hung up on all being about grace, because as much as he's a God of grace, he's a God of judgment and righteousness as well. The knowledge of God's grace in our lives provides strength for the journey. He is strong when I am weak. Let me give you some verses. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In that song again, all right? Strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Not triumph in my ideas and triumph in my abilities. No, triumph in Christ. Outside of Christ, we're in trouble. In Christ, letting Him handle it, we can triumph. It goes on to say, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. It's the knowledge of God and the ability of Christ to do a work that brings about that triumph in our lives. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Again, it all goes back to the knowledge that God can place in our minds and in our hearts. We also then go from the knowledge of His grace, we also need to place within us the knowledge of His goodness. The knowledge of God's goodness in our lives allows us to see how much better God's plans are for us. Man, well, that song was perfect. It just keeps on building, all right? Not planned. It just keeps backing up what was sung a few minutes ago. Knowledge of God's goodness in our lives allows us to see how much better God's plans are for us. Philippians 3:8. Doubtless and I count all things that but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Psalm 27:13, probably one of mine, not my ultimate desired verse, not the one that I like the most, but one of my favorites. Psalm 27:13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. By the way, that's not in the land of the living of past. Not in the land of what used to be. No, in the land of the living. In other words, those that are breathing right now. The goodness of the Lord right now. That's what he's talking about. I had fainted unless I had believed to see, eyes wide open, looking, understanding God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Going on, lastly, see the knowledge of His glory. So we have the knowledge of His grace, we need the knowledge of His goodness, and we need to have the knowledge of His glory. The knowledge of God's glory in our lives gives us the overwhelming sense of responsibility to Him. When I know who He is and I see who I am, I realize there's a great responsibility that I have to a holy God who chose to save me when I was unworthy to be forgiven, who chose to do something with me when I'm worthless and have nothing to offer Him. When I know who He is and the glory of what He presents in my life, and when I look at His glory and my worthlessness, I have nothing but the utmost responsibility to Him. And I see that, man, if He could die for me, and He could choose to forgive me, and He could choose to do so much in His will through my life, if He could have that much vision and hope and love for such a worthless one as I, how could I not, if He would die for me and give to me and do for me, how could I not live for Him? When I understand His glory I can't help but feel a great responsibility. And I serve an awesome God, a mighty powerful God, and to not do the least of His will. To not do what He has designed for my life would be as though I was a child of God looking at Him in the face and saying, you know what? I don't care. Say, that's harsh, preacher. Think about it. He died for us. He chose us. He offered to us a forgiveness that we were unworthy of. He gives us eternal life. He adds to that the promise of blessings and the promise of provision and the promise of all these things we can never do for ourselves. He puts all this before us, and then when He says, okay, here's all I ask, do my will, follow what I have for your life. I want to bless you, to lay that out and say, here is all it takes. I've done so much for you, and here's all I ask of you. Be a witness. Take each step that I lead in your life. If I say go, you go. If I say stop, you stop. Just let me lead, because everything I do will be for your benefit, will be for your encouragement in the end. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We know that. And because we know that all things are designed by His will to be perfect for us, and God will never, listen, it doesn't mean He will not bring about what hurts, but God will never harm His children. When we serve a God, you say, but it hurts? Yes, but He's not doing it for our harm. He's doing it for our good. There's something going to come out of this. His plan, His way, His design is always perfect. And when you read God's Word and you gain the knowledge in God's Word of how He works and why He works and the things that He does in spite of how it looks, and you see all the times, and then you rehearse the things you've seen in your lifetime and the things your parents saw and the things that others around you have seen, you rehearse all that you've heard, you realize how good and how faithful and how wonderful He is to take all that. When He says, I want you to do this for me, to look and say, no, 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 not that. No, that takes me away from what I want to do. You might as well just go ahead and spit in His face. Say, I don't like the way you put that. You ever seen a rebellious teenager that a parent loved, parent fed, tucked in at night, prayed for them, did everything they possibly could to help them, loved them constantly when they weren't lovely, helped them out when they shouldn't have even lifted a finger, did all of that just to have that young person look at them and say, I hate you? It's the same basic thing. Does that take that individual away from being the parent's child? No. Doesn't remove them from being a child, but it sure does hurt the parent. Sure does rip their heart out and stomp on it after all they've done. Imagine how God feels when His children refuse to follow the simple steps of His will for their life. Say, how am I supposed to know God's will? What if I miss it? If you're searching for the knowledge of God, you won't miss it. When God can instill His perfect knowledge and will in our hearts and in our minds and our lives, when I am in tune with a holy God and I'm searching for His will and I'm asking, Lord, teach me. Lord, teach me. When I'm teachable, when I'm growing in knowledge of truth, I'm not going to miss His will. 2 Corinthians 4, 5 through 7 says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are commanded to add to our faith a growing knowledge of truth about God, about His grace, about His goodness, about His glory. Though it is important to have a head knowledge of who God is, it's even more important to have a heart knowledge of who God is to me. Well, I know God. I know who God is. That's wonderful. Who is He to you personally? Oh, yeah, I believe in God. Oh, I believe in some higher power out there. That's what a lot of people will say. Wonderful. You believe in a God. Who is the Jehovah God? Who is Holy God to you personally? Well, I don't know Him that well. Might be time to grow in a little bit of knowledge concerning God. His grace, His goodness, His glory. When we add to faith, virtue, a purity, desire to just do right, simplicity of doing what God said, then we add to that the knowledge of who God is in His grace, His goodness, and His glory. We are building to our faith a desire to grow and grow and grow and see God do things in us and then through us what we never could have dreamed possible. But we have to add to our faith knowledge. Not the world's. God's knowledge. Truth from His Word. Heavenly Father, again, thank You so much.